This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and streaming on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to John Keim, our ESPN Washington football team reporter. Get you right for Thursday night football with the New York Giants and the Washington football team. We'll also get back to something we heard from our friend Bart Scott. And I say,
I got to flame him, Killer Mike. I got to get after Bart Scott after what he just said. What my ears heard? Bruh, we got to break that down all the way to a fine powder.
We are going to do just that. Can't win with him. Can't coach him hearing stuff like we heard from Bart. So we will get to that coming up in a
can't
little bit.
Can't wait.
We've weaponized it against him. Wait, by the way, fair or foul here, Chris, because I noticed this the other day. Because if anyone had missed it the last few days, had some back and forth, a little show beef with Bart and Hahn, our friends over there. We still haven't dragged Alan Hahn into this, but we'll get to him in a little bit. But I went to check on Bart Scott's Twitter the other day. Is it fair or foul him having Bart Scott can't wait as a part of his Twitter name on the website?
That's a little too much, man. I'm going to say foul ball on that one. I'm going to throw a flag on the play. I don't like that. I mean, everybody knows him as Mr. Can't Wait. I don't think you have to put that as the Twitter handle. I don't think you have to include that in the handle. That's a little too much. That's doing a little too much, bro. That's too much. Like, as much as I love Bart, that's a bridge too far. I'm just saying.
And if you think that's a bridge too far, we will get to Bart Scott's Giants take in just a little bit here. Because Chris and I both, our ears perked up the minute we heard this. And we will get plenty more reaction to that. But, Chris, the reason this feels so dire, really, for both teams heading into tonight, it's a division game, and the prospect of starting 0-2 is always pretty brutal. We know a lot of the stats about it here, the way playoff odds drop when you start 0-2, but there's more than just these teams here. And Chris, looking around the rest of the league right now, we got a lot of bad teams that are on the verge of going 0-2, so I want to exclude some of them, but when you look at who can least afford this 0-2 start? Who's got the most on the line with this? Is there a team that jumps to mind for you, maybe even outside of who we're getting ready to watch play tonight?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. For me, it's the Baltimore Ravens, and I don't even know how close it is with the other candidates that could be in the mix for that 0-2 start. Like, the expectations for the Baltimore Ravens coming into this year was that they were going to be a true championship contender. We saw Lamar Jackson check that box in terms of winning a playoff game on the road last year. So they hope to be able to build on that. They tried to put some new wrinkles in the offense this offseason. They upgraded the personnel on that side of the ball with the hopes of Lamar Jackson being able to evolve his game so that they could have success and go on a deeper postseason run. So them starting out 0-2, I mean, to me, that's the one that has to be the most daunting when you consider the division, knowing that you got two teams that share that division that had double-digit win totals last year and both in the playoffs. And then you look at some of the injuries that the Ravens have suffered early on this season. Yeah, to me, them starting out 0-2 could get this thing coming off the rails. And I don't know that John Harbaugh, as great as he and that staff are, could get things back on track.
Yeah, and Chris, it's probably worth noting because we talk about this a lot with Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson also in a contract situation right now with Baltimore.
Buddy. And that's a little bit different, you know, because he's representing himself too. So it seems like that's a whole nother layer when it comes to the player's focus on the field versus what they're trying to do, making business, making long-term moves in terms of that marriage. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. It doesn't sound like anybody's in a hurry to get that done, but there's also a lot of show and prove when it comes to Lamar Jackson getting paid at the level that some of these other young quarterbacks are getting paid.
Well, I mean, man, if I'm him, I'm pointing to week one against the Raiders and saying, listen, I was under siege the entire night, and I somehow got us to overtime in that game. You guys owe me something because, man, Chris, if that keeps up, you're just going to hope he stays on the field. We talk about the running all the time. That guy was running for his life inside the pocket, and that can't keep up if you want to get that guy to that payday.
Oh, no question about it, but even looking at the defensive side of the ball, I mean, them missing Marcus Peters, him being out for the whole year, I mean, that's going to be a struggle for that group, too. Like, Wink Martindale has got some things he's got to figure out because they don't have the guys up front to be able to get home with a four-man rush, and they've shown that they can't really hold up in one-on-one coverage on the back end. So he's in a situation where he's damned if he do, he's damned if he don't. Because if he doesn't send pressure, then, I mean, quarterbacks are going to have all day, and if he does send pressure, he's going to leave those guys on the back end out to dry. So I think it's – You know, I thought that that defense would have the opportunity to kind of hold down the fort until they got healthier on the offensive side of the ball. But that was prior to the Marcus Peters injury. I think that changes everything for the Baltimore Ravens defense, and it could change everything in terms of the overall outlook on this team for the season. Now, the one thing I'll say about the Ravens, they do have the Detroit Lions as a backstop in week three. So even if they don't get the win in prime time against the Chiefs this week, they got a win on their schedule. But after that, the next three games, they're on the road in Denver. Then they got Indy. Then they got the L.A. Chargers. So there really isn't a soft spot outside of the Lions early on for them to kind of stack some wins. So this is getting late early for the Baltimore Ravens. If they start out 0-2, I mean, like I said, I think this thing can get away from them.
Especially while you're weathering that injury bug storm. There's no doubt about that. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Canty holding it down in New York. Mike Golic Jr. out here at Ole Miss. Vaught Hemingway Stadium here, getting ready for Ole Miss this weekend, upcoming in college football. They're taking on Tulane. That's going to be a fun one. I'll have more on that for you tomorrow. But, Chris, as I look now at these teams, I think you could stay in the AFC North for a lot of this, right? Like, the Cleveland Browns would be an easy candidate for this, if for no other reason than because if they went 0-2, it would mean they lost to the Houston Texans this weekend. And I know they beat the hell out of the Jags, but man, if Cleveland somehow managed to fumble the bag after keeping it close against Kansas City, we'd have a lot of questions. So I feel like we can put them off to the side, right? Like, that would be DEFCON 5 for a lot of other reasons.
Mike, there's no way that Cleveland can lose to Houston, right? Like, there's no way that that could possibly happen. Like, no shot. Like, I don't know, man. If that happens, then not only are you talking about their season getting away from them, but you're also talking about whether or not you want to pay Baker Mayfield. Like, there's no chance you could lose that game, and then Baker can expect to be a $40 million a year quarterback. Like, those two just don't go together. Not where the Houston Texans are. Right now, I mean, they're talent-wise a glorified expansion team, so there's no shot that if they lose that game, you're talking about Baker being locked into a long-term deal at the kind of numbers we're seeing thrown around for Dak Prescott and Josh Allen.
No, I mean, honestly, and forget D's jokes, you had a better chance of seeing Nick Saban host Saturday Night Live than you do of the Houston Texans beating the Browns. You could book that one heading into this weekend before we get to that segment. But, Chris, the team that's interesting to me is the Minnesota Vikings, because you start to look at what they've got going on here right now. They're the coming out party, or they were the coming out party, I should say, losing to Joe Burrow's Bengals in week one. And we know, we expect Joe Burrow to kind of keep this thing churning forward. But you start reading off the names now. A Cardinals team that looked very good in week one coming into town. Then you've got the Seahawks. Then you've got the Browns. Like, you don't get to that the Lions backstop until week five here, Chris. And for this team that's been looking for answers they haven't gotten from Kirk Cousins, and for a defense that last year, we talked to Harrison Smith, their star safety, on this show, a defense last year that took a step back, that's Mike Zimmer's baby on that side of the ball. You just wonder how hot that seat is going to start to get for Zim, who's been there for a while now.
Sidebar, are we being super disrespectful to my former teammate Dan Campbell in the Fighting Kneecap Biters in Detroit? Like, I feel like we just keep pointing to the Detroit Lions as a win for everybody on their schedule. Are we wrong for doing that?
We probably are, because, I mean, hell, they almost came back and snuck up on the Niners in week one, so maybe that is shame on us.
No, but in all seriousness, though, that Minnesota Vikings situation is one we got to keep a close eye on, man. It's never really materialized the way that they thought it would when they signed Kirk Cousins to that big free agent deal several seasons ago. I mean, Kirk Cousins was supposed to be that missing piece that made that a championship-contending roster. And since then, they've pretty much turned over every single area of that team, both the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. So in trying to evaluate this team, it's maddening just because their quarterback play has been so erratic. It's been so up and down with Kirk. And there was no question about it in my mind about the performance that Joe Burrow put on Sunday. It was just like that quarterback felt like he gave his team a better chance to win than Kirk Cousins. So I look at this and I say Kirk Cousins is that quarterback that is the definition of just good enough to get you fired. And I feel like it's unfortunately going to fall at the feet of my former defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer. You could be talking about it being his last year in Minnesota if they don't get their act to get cleaned up really quickly. Because there really is no reason why this Vikings team shouldn't be in the mix for playoff contenders once the calendar gets to December.
Completely agree. Kirk Cousins is like a 17 playing blackjack. You're technically in it, but it never feels like you got a real shot of being in all this. We'll get to more on that, by the way. John Keim has a Kirk Cousins take in a piece he just put out that is going to rock a lot of people's sense of self and sense of understanding of football. We'll also get to more of your calls, 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Do you trust Daniel Jones? Because coming up next, we got to get to the Daniel Jones take and really the Giants take from our friend Bart Scott that about singed both of our eyebrows off earlier in this show. We'll hit that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The NFL is on. Key, Jay, and now Max Kellerman.
Protecting him gives them the best chance to win. Trying to do what we saw Tom Brady do 10 years in his career, not right now, not today.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Week 2 is not going to stop us from overreacting to the smallest sample size possible of NFL football. But in some cases, it's not about week 1. It's about what we've seen for years leading up to this moment. It's Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. And we'll get to your calls, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN on if you trust Daniel Jones, Adam in upstate New York. We got you. We know you've been on hold for a little while here. But, Chris, I think it's time we talk to our man Bart Scott, right?
Oh, yeah, we got to do it, man. We got to do it. And listen, I don't want to call Bart Scott out. I take no pleasure in doing this. Maybe you want to call him out, but me, I feel like this is supposed to be one of my guys. But to hear something so ridiculous come out of his mouth, I'd be remiss if we didn't address it. Like, we got to do that here.
This is us being good teammates, because if we just let this slide, we don't care. You know this. Every coach has said, you got to worry when I stop coaching you, when I stop talking to you. So, Bart, this is because we care. This was Bart Scott, co-host of Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. He was on McGreenier earlier today, and he was asked why he thinks the Giants can win tonight, and this is what he had to say.
I just believe in Saquon Barkley. I believe that they're building this team the right way. And I just can't see, like, Danny Dimes losing. You know what I mean? Like, if you lose to a dude that's a backup and you're the sixth overall pick, you're writing your own obituary.
Chris.
You can't see Danny Dimes losing? You believe in Saquon? I don't understand where all of this confidence from those two guys comes from. I don't know where Bart is getting this. Like, my former coach Tom Coughlin used to always say, confidence comes from demonstrated performance. Well, hey, bro, where's the demonstrated performance from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley that leads to the Giants winning? And beyond that, how the hell can you make the claim that the Giants have built this thing the right way since 2018? How? Please, Mike, tell me how.
I'm trying to figure out how many houses Bart Scott has seen built from the roof down. Like, how many houses does that work out well for? Because all we have spent the last year and change talking about is the foundation of this house not being sturdy enough, right? Like, I look at that. When we see quarterbacks like Daniel Jones, who are coming into this third year, who have a lot on the line, I always point back to what the Browns did for Baker Mayfield, what the Bills did for Josh Allen. Hell, I mean, what the Ravens had done for prior years for Lamar Jackson is you put the pieces around him they need to help. And for all of those spots, we have pointed back to the offensive line and the helps that those units have given young quarterbacks so you can go out and properly assess. In some instances with Baker Mayfield, it's made it a little more tough because we point to them now and say, well, maybe a little more of it is what's around you there. But Chris, if that foundation continues to be what we've seen so far and now what we talked to Jordan Renan, our ESPN Giants reporter about earlier, Billy Price, a guy they brought over off waivers after camp that was let go by the Cincinnati Bengals, he now could be starting at center. Another thing to worry about in the ball handling for Daniel Jones. I don't know how you can say that is building things the right way.
No, I mean, when you start talking about sustained success, the formula for being able to build a team that's capable of doing that, you got to build your team from front to back, from inside out. And that's not what the Giants did. I mean, they were a 13-loss team that decided to use the number 2 overall pick on a running back. That's never a good idea. Like, you could make the argument that taking a running back in the top 5 of a draft makes sense if you have a team that's ready to win, right? Like, when the Dallas Cowboys did it in 2016, when they took Zeke 4th overall, it made some sense because they felt like they had a quarterback in Tony Romo and an offensive line that was in place to be able to take full advantage of what Ezekiel Elliott brought to the table. The Giants didn't have none of that to speak of in 2018. They didn't. Now, as much as they like to think they got the offensive line fixed by drafting Will Hernandez and paying Nate Solder, they didn't. And we've seen that now play out over the course of the last 3 seasons. I don't know how much losing they have to do to show that they made the wrong decision when they went back to that draft and taking Saquon Barkley. I don't know why people are still picking that hill to die on. Since the Giants took him, I think there's something like 15-34. That's their record. So clearly that wasn't the right decision. So I don't know how you can say that this team has the right foundation in terms of being able to take them where they want to go, not only in 2021, but beyond that. So when I hear Barstott make a statement like that, man, I got to call him out because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Got to be good teammates on here and let them know here. We got to be good teammates and get you involved, though. 888-729-3776. Let's go to Adam in upstate New York. Adam, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Do you believe in Daniel Jones still?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for getting me on. So here's the thing. The best thing about Daniel Jones is that he's fearless. The worst thing is that he's fearless, and that's the reason why we're talking about him right now, is because that contributes to the fumbles and everything else. All that being said, man, double down. You're a Giant. This is not the time for us now to be the Jets of the past, to be, you know, the Chargers. I'm not saying it's going to be Drew Brees, but to be the Dolphins, you know, and let Tannehill go somewhere else to be good. No, listen, man, we're almost there. I feel like you guys just mentioned not long ago, you guys talked about the weapons we have, right? Top 10, you guys rated them. Defense isn't horrible. We have a good D coordinator. I feel like we have a decent coach. You know, I feel like double down. Use those 2 first-round draft picks on, you know, maybe the center from Iowa. Kick Gates out the guard, you know, and grab another tackle. I do not feel like, you know, I feel like the Giants, they wouldn't say it out loud, but, you know, they pride themselves on not being the Jets. Let's not be the Jets, man. Come on. Like, give Whopper Jr. like, you know, Bart calls him, which, by the way,
listen, man, I hear where you're coming from, but if Daniel Jones doesn't get a lot better than what we've seen him in his first 2 years, then the Giants are going to go down the same road the Jets did this past offseason. They're going to use that draft capital in order to find themselves a new quarterback. Now, it might not be a rookie quarterback. It might be trying to get one of those veteran guys that wants to get out of his current situation. But there's no way they can run it back with Daniel Jones in 2022 if you're talking about this team being having another double-digit loss season. The Giants are in the midst of a stretch of four consecutive double-digit loss seasons. At some point, something about that has to change. And the quarterback is the obvious answer. It's the low-hanging fruit when it comes to trying to figure out how you can change something in order to get the results that you're looking for. So I don't see it, man. Like, I don't see how you can stay with a quarterback that turns the ball over at the rate that Daniel Jones does and for the team not to have the kind of success that the owner, John Mara, is looking for. I don't see how they could stay with Daniel Jones no matter what they say publicly.
We'll get to more spicy Daniel Jones takes because Lord knows they're out there. 888-729-3776. But coming up next, I didn't know we were still doing spicy Kirk Cousins takes, but John Keim came through with the heater today. You won't want to miss what he has to say next here. We'll do that after this word from Indeed. Now, running your own business requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. Kirk Cousins was what to who? Next, here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
The This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We'll take a look at a couple of the rookies heading into this NFL weekend playing quarterback here in about 10 minutes. Mike Golic Jr. and Super Bowl champion Chris Canty here with you guys. But before we do that, we got to head out to the Goodyear hotline. John Keim, our ESPN Washington football team reporter, joins us now. And, John, we will get to some of the game coming up tonight here because so much of the focus has been on the Giants. I feel like we have not really given the Washington football team their due on where they're at for a team. But I'd be remiss if I didn't get to this. Now, you had a great article on ESPN.com going back with ESPN Analytics to rank the best starters for the Washington football team at quarterback in the past 30 years since their Super Bowl in the 91-92 season. And how did you feel personally inside when Kirk Cousins was the name that sat at number one on that list?
Well, I will say I wasn't surprised because the numbers are there and the numbers suggest that he should be in that spot. However, my choice was Brad Johnson, and Brad Johnson was only here 2 years. But I think in my reasoning in the article was, if I had to pick a guy to win a game, it's Brad Johnson. I felt like he was a very I don't want to say guy quarterback. I don't know if that's even a term, but he was a tough guy. He knew a lot. He was a good leader. And he did a good job in his 2 years. The only reason he didn't stay longer is because after a Pro Bowl year, they went out and got Jeff George, and it fell apart.
John, looking at the quarterback that's going to be under center tonight for the football team, Taylor Heinicke, he's stepping in because of Ryan Fitzpatrick with the hip injury in the first half of last week's game. What should we anticipate in terms of how this offense will look now that Taylor Heinicke has had the week to game plan as the starter?
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to see a great deal of change in the offense as far as what they want to do. The difference you'll see is a guy who will extend play. That's where I think you'll see a difference. And Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't immobile, but this is a big part of Heinicke's game, is his ability to keep plays alive. We saw it in the playoff game last year against Tampa Bay, and we saw it again last week, and I think we'll see it tonight. And so I think that's where the big change will be. Doesn't have the strongest arm, does a really good job with anticipation, so maybe there's some routes where I don't think they'll shy away from him. He just has to get the ball there on time. He's like a crafty left-handed pitcher where if the finesse isn't working, you're going to get hit. But if he anticipates well, he gets the ball there. So I don't think you'll see a great deal of change in the game plan as much as it is his style of play.
John, what about big picture for the organization here? Taylor Heinicke was given a contract extension after that playoff game, but it's not an indication that he's the future. Ryan Fitzpatrick is an older quarterback, and now does this injury, I should say, to Fitzmagic make the organization think a little bit more about what the long-term future at that position looks like?
I don't think it's changed their thought process with that because I think they knew they didn't have their long-term answer here. The feeling has always been that they wanted to build the roster, short of getting their Cam Newton here, not the 2021 version, but when they drafted him in Carolina, short of getting a guy like that, they're going to build the roster up and then be aggressive trying to move up in the draft or pursuing somebody in the offseason when they feel they have that roster built. And so that way they don't feel like they're mortgaging their future. For example, what the Rams did this year with Matthew Stafford, the Niners going up to get Trey Lance, they felt like they had the rosters. They needed that guy. I think when Washington it feels like it's done building there, then they'll be more aggressive. It could be this offseason.
John, looking back on week one, that Washington defense got lit up by Justin Herbert and that passing attack from the Chargers. That was supposed to be the strength of his team coming into 2021, that defense and specifically that defensive front. They were held in check in large part by the Chargers' offensive line. What needs to happen? What needs to change in order for that group, that unit, to be more effective in their matchup against the Giants?
Well, I think the two words that Ron Rivera used the most, and it's appropriate, is maturity and discipline. They have to be more mature in their approach as far as being more disciplined. And this as a former defensive lineman, like staying in your gaps and not getting out of your gaps in the run game, because that happened and it creates big problems when you do. They're a one-gap defense, and if you start, you get some of these guys are still used to the two-gap system, so you get one guy two gaps and one guy one gap, and now there's a big hole, and the linebackers have to fill it better. That part of that is on not just rookie linebacker Jamin Davis, but all of them, and so I think that's a big part. I think they'll be helped by playing a Giants offensive line that is not where the Chargers is, and the same. And I think Justin Herbert is a really, really good quarterback. Daniel Jones has hurt them, though. So I think there's some reason for Washington to feel good going into this, but it starts with being a lot more disciplined in their assignment.
John, before we let you go, you mentioned the name Cam Newton in there. If this team gets off to an 0-2 start, if Taylor Heinicke doesn't go out there and look the part, is there a call going out to Cam Newton's number from Ron Rivera and this group that knows him well?
No, I don't think so. And Ron Rivera made it – well, he did say the other day that he's very confident with the two quarterbacks he has. They also have Kyle Allen. They just signed Kyle Shermer to the practice squad. The scenario in which Cam Newton might be a possibility would be if, for example, they don't feel that Ryan Fitzpatrick will return this season. Now, the timetable has been 6 to 8 weeks. And then if Allen and Heinicke get hurt and they feel they're still in contention, then I think you look at that and say it's more of a possibility. Right now, I don't see that.
Got it. Awesome stuff. Check him out at John_Keim on Twitter. Check out the article on ESPN.com. Analytics breaking down the best quarterbacks for the Washington football team since their last Super Bowl win in 91-92. John, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome stuff there. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can get in touch with us. You still have any faith in Daniel Jones? Do you have more faith in Taylor Heinicke as we head into Thursday Night Football? We'll get into that and one of the biggest rookie surprises from the opening weekend of the NFL. What does he have for an encore? We'll get there next. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Chris, coming to you guys from New York. I'm hanging out down in Mississippi, and I got to tell you, Chris, at this point, so I'm down here, Tulane is on the road at Ole Miss this weekend, and the number one thing I've heard, I heard a linebacker who ended up transferring to Kentucky, I want to say, talk about the fact that he lost weight once he left from down here because he stopped eating so much gas station fried chicken, and so that is the only thing that's been on my mind since I landed down here, and I cannot wait. The minute we are done, I'm heading to a Chevron right around here, and I'm getting me some chicken on a stick.
Man, you can't find no better place to get fried chicken than the Chevron. I just feel like with gas station fried chicken, it's kind of sketchy, man. That's rolling the dice right there, man. I mean, you don't sound like much of a gambling man. I mean, you're taking a hell of a risk with this one.
Listen, Chris, on the contrary, listen, I like to go ahead and hit my splits and doubles with the best of them at the casino on a good Friday night. And all I'm saying is, Chris, I say this no matter what. Anywhere I go to eat, I always want your fastball. Like, I want what everyone's telling me, hey, you got to go get this. And I understand City Grocery, all that stuff. I'm going to get to it down here. But when people I know, people whose food takes I trust, are telling me, hey, listen, don't sleep on the gas station fried chicken, I got to come running and see what it's about, Chris. If nothing else, this is scientific research. I'm doing this for the people.
Listen, I'm not mad at you for chasing after the greasy brown paper bag chicken spot. I'm not mad at that approach. I just feel like you can find a better fried chicken joint in Mississippi than having to go to one of those spots at a gas station. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm sure Big Mama, somebody got a restaurant down there where they cooking up some fried chicken that's not near a gas pump. I'm just saying, explore a little bit. I feel like you're going to stumble on something that could be a better option than the Chevron, man. I got to believe they got better fried chicken spots than some gas station spot down in the SIP.
You know what? At Mike Golic Jr. and at ChrisCanty99 on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, if you have got a better fried chicken spot for me down here in Mississippi, down in Oxford for the weekend, I am all ears for your food ideas here. We'll document this later on for you guys. But you mentioned finding better options, Chris. Going back to week one of the NFL season as we get ready for this upcoming weekend here, I know we were talking earlier, Mac Jones, I think a lot of people who might have been wary, hey, it's the preseason, what have you here, were a little bit shocked by just how well he went out and performed against that Brian Flores defense in week one. Were you in that group?
Yeah, I was in that group, typically because you see quarterbacks struggle in the NFL in terms of adjusting to the speed of the game as comparison to college. And most of the quarterbacks that have success early on in their careers, they're usually leaning on using their athleticism, being able to use their legs to get themselves out of situations. But with Mac Jones, we knew that there wasn't that athleticism to speak of. He's not a dual threat kind of guy. He's a player that has to win from the pocket. And you thought that the speed of the game could affect his effectiveness early on and limit his ceiling in terms of production. But that wasn't the case, man. It wasn't what we saw in the preseason. And he's been able to carry that over to the regular season. I was impressed with what he did against that Miami Dolphins defense, man. I know a lot of people are saying that he was captain check down and he was throwing a lot of short passes, dinking and dunking. But when you look at what he did in comparison to what the quarterbacks did last year against that Dolphins defense, the numbers are pretty favorable. I mean, when you look at what Mac Jones had, he had a 74% completion percentage as opposed to 63% average quarterbacks facing that Dolphins defense last year. His passer rating was 102.6. compared to 87 for quarterbacks last year against the Dolphins. And he had 281 yards in comparison to a 251-yard average in quarterbacks against that Dolphins defense last year. So, in my opinion, I mean, the guy played a really good game and exceeded expectations given the competition that he was going up against, knowing that Brian Flores and that Dolphins defense can be multiple, can be opportunistic. I thought Mac Jones did everything you could ask your quarterback to do to give your team a chance to have success. I'm not even factoring in or qualifying it because he's a rookie. I thought he was that good that when you talk about his performance in week one.
He was so good, it gave Keyshawn Johnson, the co-host Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, the courage to come out here with this take. Listen to what he thinks about Mac Jones coming up this weekend, getting ready to face Zach Wilson in the New York Jets.
Mac Jones. He has a better team and Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick's son and all, it's too much on the defensive side for this young quarterback. They're going to eat him up.
So he thinks Mac Jones is going to have a better game than Zach Wilson, to which I say, yeah, duh, Chris. Like, look at this. And he said it there. Like, you look at the way these two teams are operating, and you brought up Mac Jones, what we saw out of him. That was what we saw at Alabama, right? Like, these things have been consistent. The most important consistent part is the fact that he's got a meat slab of guys in front of him who were able to keep his jersey clean. And what we saw from Zach Wilson was exactly what everyone talked about. At BYU, you had a mass of humanity taking names and kicking you-know-what in front of him. And for the Jets last weekend, I mean, you even had Mekhi Becton, your best tackle, getting beat. Now he's hurt and down. Like, it's great they're going to get Jamison Crowder back. But, Chris, I look at this and say, this is a reminder that where these quarterbacks end up is so important because Mac is going to get plenty of help around him here, and Zach Wilson still plays for the Jets.
No question about it. I mean, Mac Jones has the better supporting cast, so you would expect that he'll have more opportunities for success earlier on in his career. Plus, he's playing for Bill Belichick, right? I mean, Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in the modern era. So, I mean, yeah, it's a no-brainer in terms of which one of these quarterbacks is going to flash more early on in their careers. But the one thing I will say, Mac Jones, I mean, he went a long ways to protecting himself, not just saying that the offensive line did their jobs, but this kid was getting the ball out on time. He's shown a command for the offense, a feel for the game that's beyond his years. When you look at Zach Wilson's debut, I mean, yeah, that offensive line struggled, but some of the mistakes that happened in that game were on Zach Wilson. Like, he took a shot from Hassan Reddick. I mean, Hassan Reddick was unblocked, but because it was a three-step drop, Zach Wilson has got to get the ball out of his hands. He can't double clutch it. He can't hold it because he's going to get hit. On that interception that he threw in the first half, he was late over the middle of the field. That's a ball that's got to come out if you're going to throw it to that receiver. If not, you got to check it down or you got to get rid of it. Like, there are some mistakes in that game against the Panthers that are on Zach Wilson, not on his supporting cast. So, yeah, in this week two matchup, I would anticipate Mac Jones being able to continue what we've seen from week one, from the preseason, and Zach Wilson probably struggling a little bit more than he did down in Carolina in his week one debut.
Yeah, I got a feeling Mac Jones, the game is going to slow down an awful lot when you're going up against what was a very beat up in the preseason Jets defense compared to what he saw last week on the field. So plenty more on that as we get to tomorrow. We're brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. But coming up next, we're in the home stretch. We're taking you up. We got Thursday night football tonight in the division out in the NFC East. And we got a quarterback battle that's inspiring an awful lot of confidence.